Call the order. Madam Clerk, can you determine a quorum?
We have a quorum with Member Gaddis online.
Ms. Gardner, are you here? Can you lead us in the pledge? Board goals.
The Matanuska Susitna Borough School District has the vision of Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Our mission, Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Our beliefs, we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Our core values, stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, and lack of reprisal. Our goals, we will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
A second.
Motion made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Powger. All right, is there any dissent? Agenda is approved. This takes us down to item 3, budget public hearing, public comment on the FY13 budget, 1 hour max. So once again, we're still in the budget season, and we're gonna. There's an opportunity now for folks from the public to come forth and speak to the budget. So once again, I'm gonna read the guidelines. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda, but this particular issue is for the budget. Speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room clear if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designated to take the issue under advisement, and there's a maximum of 1 hour per meeting. So are there any folks that would like to come forward and speak to the budget? Okay. Seeing none, is there any additional staff report on the budget?
Mr. President, we will do our budget update under the superintendent update school board report.
Okay. So as a result, we'll jump down to item 4. And are there any persons to be heard on non-agenda items? Has anyone signed up? Does anyone wish to speak before the board on non-agenda items? Please come forward, state your name for the record. Once again, the rules apply at 3 minutes, et cetera.
My name is Diane Wagner, and I teach at Colony High School. If people both in the public and within the school system respected and understood what teachers do each day, we would not have the 7-period day. At the last school board meeting, during which the teachers testified about the problems with the 7-period day, we were emphatically admonished towards the end of the meeting that this is about the children, not the adults. I take umbrage at this admonishment. That should never have been directed at the teachers, and especially in a public forum. Teachers most assuredly are aware that school is about the children. We do not simply toss the phrase about, but we live that belief every day, spending our personal time and personal money on our students. I think that the two teachers who sponsor the junior class know our purpose is the children, when they accept the small sum of $300 a semester to be the sponsors. They each spent well over 150 hours this fall helping the students with fundraisers, decorating, talent shows, etc. This semester, they are going to at least double that number of hours because they are responsible for putting on the prom. ASD has an actual prom coordinator to accomplish this arduous task. Have these sponsors complained? No. Do they do it for the money? Certainly not. Do they do it because they believe the importance of what we do is the children rather than the adults? Most definitely. Then there's the teacher who spends 4 to 5 hours beyond the classroom every working week with the frontiersman so her kids can get published in the paper and do job shadowing in that industry. How much does she get paid? Nothing. Has she asked for pay? No. She does this because she lives the belief that this is all about the children. How about all the teachers who are department chairs? They get paid zero for maintaining inventories, working through budgets, attending early morning meetings, etc. Every task they do for this position is on their personal time. Is this done for the children? Certainly. Departments must be well run for classes to be well run. When you see any of the graduations that are put on each year, those are results of teachers putting in extraordinary amounts of overtime for a mere $1,200 a year. And the graduation is only one of the many responsibilities they have as senior class sponsors. Yet most teachers split that sum with a partner, so they get paid half that, which works out to be about $1 to $2 an hour at most. Why are they doing it? For the children. I asked many teachers who have extracurricular activities, I only have just a moment, to estimate how much they probably get paid an hour after the stipend is divided by the number of hours worked. Most of them didn't even know what the amount of their stipends were. We had to ask the secretary. Clearly, money is not the motivation, and there's not much glory in any of these tasks. Each person told me it was because of the benefit it gives the children. These are but a few examples of how teachers are quite clear that what we do here is for the children, not the adults. Perhaps that admonishment should be saved for the borough and the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other folks that would like to speak before the board on non-agenda items? Seeing none, this takes us down to item 5. Are there any borough and city reports? Seeing none, this takes us down to item 6, administrative reports. Superintendent Perarmo?
No, Mr. President.
This takes us down to item 7, superintendent updates. Student advisory report. Our student board rep is not here today, so Superintendent Perarmo.
Thank you, Mr. President and the board. There were some requests made by this board last meeting to be presented during the budget update. Please know that on item A, capital projects update, there isn't any new news, if you will, from last board meeting. We are progressing along. $100 million did go out to bond for our projects. We are still waiting to determine which projects the school district will be able to manage, as well as which projects the borough will. So we haven't heard updated information.
Member Larson.
$100 million. Who chooses the projects we do first?
Through the President, we sent over through Mr. Forrest our recommendation for the projects and the batches of bonds that should be sold. So we are basically, my understanding is that our requests are moving along. We do have a small hitch with the track and field at Colony High School that we're working through, but it's not a school district issue. It's really a state fund with the borough, so once that's handled, we'll be able to move forward.
Does the borough generally follow a recommendation on where the bonds are going to go to?
That would be a negative. Yeah. So not our full recommendation, but they also have reasons for which that they change the order around. So I'm not running the borough, don't know, but they are considered, and we do participate in conversations with their managers.
Budget update?
Okay. Under the budget update, there were three requests for pieces of information to be shared. One was information on the breakfast program. Last board meeting, we did have a resolution to move money from the operational fund to be able to subsidize the food fund. There are three general funds at the school district that have separate funding, and one is transportation, one is food service, and then one is the operational fund. So I'll discuss that. The second one is the cost of the administrative building and the functions of the people at the administrative building. So we do have the full costs, both grant funds and operational funds. And then finally, what was requested was a five-year cost analysis. I will begin providing those pieces of information, and I'll start with the breakfast program. And again, this is information to inform the board as we move towards making those final decisions and, I guess, final analysis and vote on the school district budget as pieces of information come into play. So to start, we did make a PowerPoint for the audience to see the breakfast program. And this is just for your review, as well as I provided a recommendation from the data that I have collected. The number of lunches, the number of free lunches, all those pieces of information are presented in your budget packet. What I've done is simply summarized anecdotal data, quantitative, qualitative, all those pieces to come up with a recommendation for your use that could be considered. So to begin, this is just a small report on the 2012-2013 food service breakfast program, which would be next year, and it is in response to the resolution that was presented to you last meeting. The Mat-Su Borough School District currently provides breakfast to all students, regardless of eligibility status, at no charge. Under the current program, the estimated cost of the subsidy from the general operating fund for next year would be $440,865. So that was what the resolution was about, to create, move a large sum of money knowingly from your operational fund to subsidize your food service fund. Our food service fund, I should say. So please know that we currently serve breakfast in 34 schools, which in those 34 schools, we have a potential to serve 14,465 breakfasts. Those are all the children enrolled in those 34 schools. Of course, we don't serve that many breakfasts a day, but there would be a potential to serve that many breakfasts, being that it's free. I worked with, over spring break, some school staff to discuss this issue. The board, I know, through correspondence, had some questions in regard to why do we offer free breakfasts where children are throwing food away. And then we've heard from folks that say, you know, I think I have there's high poverty schools, we need breakfasts. So really the information, anecdotal information that's out there and that was received is kind of from many sides. But I proposed three options to the principals about what ifs. What would we do if? Because all of these three options are operating in certain schools and districts around the state. Option one was to eliminate the breakfast program entirely. And I wanted you to know that that was not a recommendation from me or the administration. Option two, was presented as a continuation of the previously proposed subsidy by that board resolution, which consisted of approximately $15,000 subsidized for free and reduced eligible meals, which was really the reduced eligibility students, and then the $425,000 for students not eligible for free and reduced meals. This proposal will continue to provide all students with a free breakfast, which the estimated cost next year would be that $440,000. Option three would be to return to the federal guidelines and begin charging students who do not qualify for free or reduced meals. This is a similar program to our lunches. So our lunches run in a similar fashion that all students have a potential to purchase a lunch if they'd like at school. Students who qualify under the federal guidelines would either receive a free or reduced meal. The recommendation and the cost would be, because we hadn't charged before, would be $1.60 for elementary and $1.75 for secondary students to purchase lunch if they desire, or breakfast rather, if they desired it. We would have the opportunity to buy lunches as well as the opportunity to receive a free lunch if students qualify. The estimated revenue, I keep saying lunch, but it's really breakfast. The estimated revenue for that would be $115,000, actually about $116,000. We do not expect the full range of students who potentially receive a free lunch to actually purchase them, breakfast rather, but we do believe that there would be revenue made there. So it is anticipated, again, not all students who currently get it free would buy it, but others might just pay for the breakfast. And generally, when our principals shared the information, those students that are irregular who receive the breakfast are those that, maybe their folks had to leave work early and drop them off for breakfast. So they'll say, oh, just grab the school breakfast. So that they would use it. They believe that it would still be a program to have, even though we would charge. So the recommendation after discussing and actually surveying principals in regard to what they would like to see with breakfasts and considering the cost of the program, the recommendation is to return to the federal guidelines and just go by the guidelines that are set up and charge students the nominal fee for breakfasts if they would like to have them, but continue the breakfast program to offer free free breakfast to free and reduced students. Again, there's the estimated revenue. The staff savings would be only one FTE because it would really be hours reduced to create the lunches. So that's district-wide only one FTE, so that's not significant. But the last page shows in our current subsidy program, it's about $441,000. If we did go with option three, again, that was returned to the federal guidelines, continue to have a breakfast program but charge appropriately, we would have a revenue of $115,000, and we would decrease our expenses by $100,000, so the adjusted subsidy that we could change the resolution to read would be about $225,000. Essentially, as we've gone through this budget, and I know to the dismay we keep saying teachers, and I explained it through the budget process at the last night's budget meeting with the borough, that we really save FTE, but we use a teacher's full salary with benefits to discuss that because our goal really is to keep teachers in our classrooms. So this has a potential, if we to revert back to the federal guidelines, to save 2.5 positions.
Any questions? Member Lacey.
Superintendent Perrimo, I like option three, but is there some mechanism that if a child goes to school and doesn't qualify and they don't have money that day that they can get a lunch, and then somehow I don't want to have any kid going to school who can't find food at school.
Through the president, actually, we run that right now because we don't run any free lunches for students who do not qualify. But there are many, many times where kids either forget money or don't have money. And generally, it's through your activity account of your school. A lot of PTOs, PTAs have a fund whereby they can give scholarships for field trips, food, all those types of things that when we want to provide equity to students and equalize that playing field, we do that. So essentially, the proposal is to have a lunch program that's similar to your breakfast program so that they would run similarly.
Member Cordero.
If I'm understanding it correctly, the lunch program and the breakfast program work based on the school, not necessarily per each child. Would there be the case in which a child actually would qualify based on their financial need, but they are in a school that doesn't qualify for the free lunch program? And if so, what's the proposal for that?
Actually, through the president, each individual child who qualifies for a breakfast or lunch where there is a program can receive one. Okay. Now, we have children, say, in charter schools, I'll just use that as an example, or Berryosova doesn't have a lunch program. There's quite different lunch preparation that the parents choose. So if there is a breakfast and lunch program, it's up to the end. You could have one student, and they would receive it. But if there isn't a program in the school, there would not be a free. We don't have a way to bring a lunch over to those folks.
And what? I'm sorry. One more question. What is the poverty guideline for that? What is the percentage for a student to qualify?
I would have to look at. I don't know if our federal programs folks.
I believe one of our board members might know.
Would you know? Yeah.
For a family of four to receive a reduced lunch, it's about $45,000 a year.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for members of the board? I've got a comment. In a previous life, we did this. I would just caution you that it may not necessarily work the way you think it's going to work. Because as Member Lacey said, you'll have students that will come to school with no money, and you'll have on the front line the student and some very caring cafeteria workers, teachers, et cetera, that are going to be forced with the choice of not feeding that child or feeding that child. So in essence, you're going to end up feeding that child. And then the going after folks, whether it be small claims or having staff do it, takes time, and that's resources. So I guess I would just caution you on option three. There's it's been done and tried in many places, and it's fraught with issues in terms of hidden costs, costs of, once again, not feeding children, the costs of giving them a cracker with peanut butter, the costs of staff having to make very difficult decisions when it's really not their role to do that, cost of potentially small claims court, cost of chasing folks around to pay. I would strongly suggest that you look at all these potential issues before you settle on three. Member Larson.
This program would be in 34 schools still, then? Is that correct?
Through the president, yes. It would remain, and really those concerns that we have about the collections, those already exist for lunches because we don't give all students free lunches. So, and it is difficult, and that's why most schools, especially elementary schools, establish kind of a slush fund, if you will, provided by the PTO. Where it becomes more difficult is middle and high schools.
Just one other quick comment, if I could. Knowing a few decades ago when my children were in school, elementary, there was no breakfast program, but I know the majority of teachers had boxes of granola bars purchased from them by either PTAs or other parents. They did have food for the sole purpose to feed a kid that came to school hungry. So, you know, the breakfast program has been there kind of under the cover because I know that existed. And I agree that the breakfast program should stay there for cost, but I would like an update, I guess, a year or two like a year from now, see how it's going, if we go with option three.
Okay. Any other reports?
Yes, Mr. President. The second item is a large spreadsheet that would not have projected well. It's blue and gold. And the request was made to determine what is the real cost of a district office. So what you have before you is each department at the district office listed, and then staff who do not work directly with children. If there were district office locations that worked in schools with children, we didn't include them. But these are district staff that work with adults or work with operations for each department. You can see the actual cost. I do want to caution you when you look at what is employee compensation. Please know that those items are not just salaries. The teachers or administrators or supervisors are not pocketing, if you will. That's not what goes to the bank account. On the last page, page four, there's a box that says, what is employee compensation? And please know that employee compensation is a salary, includes health insurance, includes the money for retirement, includes all federal taxes, includes unemployment insurance, as well as workers' compensation. Additionally, it might look imbalanced where members of or and supervisors who are certified and or classified directors, their salaries are different, but please know that is based on the compensation. The compensation for retirement for a teacher or someone with a certificate is 12%. The compensation for a non-certificated person, so we have ML, MA, we have all classified positions, the retirement is actually 22% of the salary. So please keep that in mind, and those are just the metrics of this. I'll just give the example. It looks on paper that Mr. Forrest makes more money than the superintendent. Please know that that is not the case. However, there is a larger percentage. His compensation is 22% of his salary, while mine is 12% for retirement. But those are accurate numbers of cost. It just isn't what Mr. Forrest makes and what I make. And that is true for teachers and classified and certified. So you'd really have to look in more detail to what it is. But those are the true costs. On page number four, I can summarize a bit, and then you can just spend some time looking through these. I know that this is just all information gathered as we move closer to finalizing our budget. But circled in red at the top are the total general fund expenditures at the district office. This is on page four. That is approximately 80% of the staff or the monies that go into the district office. 20% is strictly grant funded. So if you were to take those grants away, you would take those people away, you couldn't reproportion them somewhere else. So if we take that $9,946,000 and move it down to the next level, we separated it by people cost and non-personnel, non-people cost, non-persons cost for supplies, contracts, things like that, insurance, where we have $8 million. And then if you take that $8 million, and that is strictly hard money to operate the district office and operate basically the operations of the district, and moved it down one more level, approximately 50% or $4.1 million of the eight goes into instructional departments, and those would be special education, federal programs, and instruction, and career and technical ed. 50% or $4.1 million is personnel in the business services department, which is human resources, payroll benefits, information technology, and Anything else on Ken's side? I'm trying to just go around the district office and
risk management.
There you have it. So it's surprisingly, we never really divided it up this way, but it came out exactly 50-50. And again, these are people who work with other adults or other larger functions of the district. Anyone who worked in a school with a child and children and served those purposes, we place them at the schools in which they worked, even though their salary may have been centrally located through a grant or something at the district. So 80% is hard money, if you will, 20% soft. If those monies go away, so do the personnel. And approximately 50-50 of the cost of the district office is for instructional purposes, and 50% is operational. And the request was just to, what is it? And so this is what we present to you.
Any questions? Member Larson.
The 22% grant money, 22.5%, is that grant money, I know it was every year and every 3 years? How far out does grant money go?
Some is short term. Like you mentioned, 1 year or 3 year, but a lot of it is what we call the title programs, which really comes from entitlement, which are through NCLB and other regulatory items at the federal level, where if you offer special education, there's an entitlement of so much money. To have a federal program, so you have an entitlement of so much money for students of poverty. Those pretty much continue, but last year, I don't know if the board recalls, the federal entitlements or title monies were cut by 17%. They have an 8% cut this year. So we will be reducing in those categories. The staff there will already be reduced. So it is different. We try not to just do year-to-year grants and hire people for that. Many of these are entitlement.
One follow-up on the entitlements. Are those federal mandated programs for a school district like ours? I mean, we couldn't get out of those grants if we wanted to.
If you took zero money, if you remember the ARRA came through, if a state said we will not participate in any of those statutes at the federal law, then you would get zero money. But please know that the monies that come from the federal government do not pay for all the laws that come from the federal government. So we still use operational funds to pay quite a bit for regulations.
I'll build on that. I think it was last year, and you may have been at that meeting in Juneau, when the individual came from the feds to explain to the superintendents that they will be cutting over time. And I actually asked the question, I said, does that mean then you'll reduce the regulations and the attached mandates correspondingly? And she said emphatically no. So theoretically, those mandates will stay in place, but they'll cut the money that supports them. So we will have to pick up the cost. The reason I asked, are there any other questions for staff? The reason I asked for this was there's oftentimes in the budget process, there's often questions regarding the size of a district office. And so if I'm not mistaken, when I look at the figures on page 4, $9,946,027.16 is the cost of the district office currently as we speak.
Yes, Mr. President.
Okay. Superintendent Perama or Mr. Forrest, what if we do not receive any additional monies from the state or the borough? Once again, what is the shortfall, the amount we're looking at?
If we don't receive any at all, which would include the transportation, it's $14,564,000.
So if we were to eliminate the district office, which we know we can't do because it's necessary services, but this was an exercise to see the amount, we would still be short $6 million, roughly.
Approximately. Mm-hmm.
So when you refer to a structural imbalance, it truly is a structural imbalance that goes into the future unless the structure is changed.
Yes, sir. We the next request by the board, we have samples.
If we may proceed.
Sure.
And this is just from listening to the board's request last time. These were the three items, so hopefully we're moving through it okay. The next just discussion was about, well, what would happen next year if we could fix this year, and what would happen the year after? So I worked with Mr. Forrest, and he worked with his team quite a bit just to get these accurate for the board this evening. There's many different scenarios on the different pages, and Mr. Forrest will blow through them so that you can see this is the best that we can answer all your questions, because what happens in one year would affect each year as you move on, because we do have multi-year contracts. So, and multi-year expenses. And as I said at the borough meeting last night with budget, I mean, we understand we are a human resources, business, service. We provide teachers and education in schools. So this isn't a, we have too many people, we have too little people. This is about what it costs to have our programs. And our programs, 83% of the entire district's budget goes into people. So these are strictly the people costs, if you will. And I'm one of the people. We're all, you know, the board here is are estimated in there. Teachers, counselors, nurses, aides, maintenance workers. It's all the people of the district who are employed.
Okay, we have a number of scenarios tonight. I want to start off by reminding everyone the budget process is far from over, and we do not have information from the legislature, so these are still all projections. The very first sheet says in the lower right-hand corner, we kind of label them, and we call this the worst-case scenario. It is, as the board president just pointed out, if we received zero increase. If we receive zero increase, you would see that we would have the 144 FTE would have to be removed from the budget to balance the budget, in addition to the other reductions which we've shown you previously. Mr. Cordero, this is the number you referred to the other night. So, and the way that these sheets work is you can look down below, and the revenue assumptions for each year for the next 5 years are shown, and then the expenditure assumptions are shown. So this is indeed the worst case scenario. If you want to move to the second sheet, this sheet is where we have basically Senate Bill 171. If the only revenue increase we received was Senate Bill 171 or $125 in the base student allocation, $135, we made the assumption, if you'll look down at the second row in the green area, that they would just keep giving us $5 a year. And so you can see what happens. So we would have the 75 FTE we've been talking about. Class size would go up 2.78. Then you can see, as the board president has indicated, that given our current structure, we would have to continue to lay people off each year for the next 5 years. The next scenario says, what if the state gave us some one-time money? Well, you'll notice this is worse. Why? The one-time money that's equal to last year doesn't even replace it, and so it actually looks worse if all we got was the $2,400,000 on the one-time money.
It look worse or it is worse?
It would be worse. We're hoping it just looks worse and that it's not reality. The next projection says, what if we got one-time money and 1.5% from the borough? And I carried the 1.5% from the borough each year, just so you can see how this works. It's a little better, but it's still bad. The next page, if you look at the lower left-hand corner, this is the dream sheet. This is the one that says best case for kids. So what you'll notice, we have finally some black numbers in the FTE boxes. So what does this one say? This one says we get the BSA increase in Senate Bill 171. We get some one-time money. Not only do we get it this year, but we get it every year. The borough gives us a 3% increase. We maintain our expenditures at the level they have been for this year by contract, but next year we reduce and we give no raises. We cut our health insurance costs to the district, and then you can see what happens. Now we have a positive case where we're actually, class size can actually be attacked after going down just for 1 year. The next case says, well, what? how hard would it be if we received no revenue? What would we have to do? Well, you can see here, we'd have to remove 111 FTE, but then if we further reduced expenditures by now saying, let's cap health insurance, for example, with no increase, and you can see we can put zero in there for that and do that, and you go across, and so it is possible to do this by reducing expenditures. So this is just a worksheet that shows a bunch of different scenarios, and we can apply them. Obviously, as Dr. Paramo has indicated, we're at the end of the revenue stream. We don't get to generate revenue. So now as the numbers come down from Juneau and the borough, we'll put them in and update the board as quickly as possible.
Any questions for staff regarding these scenarios? Member Cordero.
And I take it that in all these scenarios, you're considering a reduction in the food subsidy already.
Yes, sir, that's true. If you look, I put the 225 in there. Obviously, the board has until you adopt the budget.
Okay.
Member Larson.
Your projections for 10% increase in health benefits, is that a nationwide projection?
Actually, the nationwide is a little higher. What we're using, this is a little optimistic on health insurance. There are two reasons for that. One, this year, of course, there is a proposal for a number of employee groups which would save the district money, and that would cut our out-of-pocket costs and save the employees money who choose to move that way, so we could see a little savings. The CFO for the NEA Health Trust has said 15 to 20%, so this would be a little optimistic if those indeed come back at that higher rate. We think that if the option is chosen by those employees who are considering it, that there is savings for both the employees and the district, and that could be realized. In addition to that, this would assume that we move towards self-insurance, and we think we could mitigate our cost.
Member Larson.
The 4% all the way across, except the last sheet for steps, does that take in consideration new employees and lower steps, all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. It's steps, column movement, longevity.
Okay. Any other questions for members of the board? Lynn, do you have any questions? Member Gaddis? Member Gaddis, are you there? Have there go ahead. Okay. I have a question. It's more of a projection thought. If we were not to get any money, which we believe we will, I'll pass. We'll wait till we see reality. Okay. This takes us down to, thank you very much. these documents and the research you did is going to be very valuable as we go through this process. This takes us down to item 8, consent agenda. Is there a motion to move the consent agenda?
I would like to move the consent agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second it. That's the minutes of March 7th, 2012. And item B is 12-110 high school graduation qualifying exam waivers.
Motion is made by Member Lacey. It's seconded by Member Welton. Is there any dissent to move this forward? Seeing none, motion passes. Oh, yeah, that's right. We have a member that is not with us, so we're going to do a voice vote. Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Gaddis? Gaddis. Member Powger.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Gaddis.
Yes.
And I too vote yes. Motion passes. This takes us down to action items. A, 12-098, Berioizova.
I would like to move 12-098, the Berioizova school calendar.
I'll second.
Motion made by Member Lacy, seconded by Member Cordero. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
No, Mr. President.
Seeing none, are there any questions for members of the board? I would assume no comments. With that, let's do a voice vote. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Powger.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Lacy.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Gaddis. Member Gaddis. And I too vote yes. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item B, 12-016, superintendent contractors. Is there a motion or a motion to move this item?
I'd like to move 12-016, superintendent contracts.
I'll second.
Motion made by Member Lacy, seconded by Member Cordero.
You have to have public comment.
Excuse me?
Public comment.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this issue? Seeing none, are there any questions for members of the board? Seeing none, let's do a voice vote. Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Powger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacy?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
Member Gaddis? Member Gaddis? I vote yes. Motion passes. Member Gaddis? Takes on the next item. Item C.
I would like to move item C, 12-107, reemployment of non-tenured special education teachers.
Is there a second? Okay. Motion made by Member Lacy, seconded by Member Larson. Yeah, are there any members of the public that would like to speak upon this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report?
Mr. President, I'd just like to comment that on C and D, although these are non-tenured staff, we do know that we do have funding for them, and we want to move as many contracts through as possible as the board requested to retain our teachers.
Great. Any questions from members of the board? Okay, seeing none, let's vote. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Powger.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Lacy.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Gaddis. And I, too, vote yes. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item D, 12-108, reemployment of long-term type M teachers. Is there a motion to move this item?
I would like to make a motion to move 12-108, reemployment of long-term type M teachers.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Member Lacy, seconded by Member Larson. Any questions, any members of the public that would like to comment on this item? Seeing none, is there a staff report? Follow-up. Any questions for members of the board? Member Larson.
Yeah, I asked earlier this week about type M versus regular, and got my explanation of what type M is, but I thought it would be worth our while to describe. Katie told me what it was all about. And because we only vote on this once a year, what type M versus the other certifications are. So I think it'd be worth listening to.
Okay, Ms. Gardner. What we refer to as long-term type M teachers are teachers who are employed under a certificate identified by the state as a type M certificate. These are individuals who have not completed a teacher preparation program, but they have an expertise in a certain area and are employed to teach that area. Type M certificates are limited. The state only offers Type M in a certain number of areas. For us, most common are vocational education and military science with our junior ROTC program. The reason the board approves these contracts separate from tenured teachers is because state law prohibits anyone employed under a Type M certificate from earning tenure. These are individuals who have been employed with our district long enough to have been considered tenure if the state law would have allowed them to do so.
Member Larson.
Also, in that, is it foreign language in that type M also?
Foreign language as a general area is not. There are certain languages which are recognized, specifically Native Alaskan languages. But Spanish, French, your typical foreign languages aren't recognized with Type M certificates.
Any other questions of staff? Thank you. Seeing none, let's vote. Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Podger?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Lacey?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
Member Gaddis?
Yes.
I too vote yes. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us over now to 10 non-action items. A 12-101 Academy Charter School Year Calendar. It's your staff report.
Thank you, Mr. President. All items under 10 non-action items are calendars for charter schools. And now that the board has adopted the general school calendar, our charter schools have put in their requests. All of these requests do meet the state requirement, and we are prepared to answer questions on any of them, but I won't speak specifically to anyone unless any calendar unless there is a specific question.
So grouping A, B, C, and D, which are all calendars, are there any questions for members of the board at this time? Okay, seeing none, these will come back to us at the next meeting for our approval. This takes us down to item 11. Future items, future business. Yes?
Mr. President, I wanted to bring up a calendar conflict that the board might be interested in knowing and have a solution. On May 16th is the second board meeting for May that we have planned. And I would like to suggest that we get very good with our business in May and have one meeting in May. And then if we needed to make up another meeting, add one to June. The reason I'm asking is that May 16th, we have Palmer High School's graduation, actually, is that evening as well. And I know the board and members of the board like to go to all graduations and promotions, and you like to be present. And for all of our schools, middle schools and high schools, that's over 15 events. And so I would like to request that we forego the meeting on May 16th. As we move closer to the budget and the finalization of that on June 30th, we still do have two meetings following in June, June 6th, and then 2 weeks later. I believe we can conduct the business that is needed. In addition, the June 6th meeting would be the last student recognition. That would be closer when softball and soccer and those sports that and after the school year ends and students graduate, that we have a time to celebrate those students. And that is administration's request for consideration to the board. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other future items for members of the board? I'm going to bring forth a resolution for folks to take a look at. And basically what it does is it asks our federal delegation, especially Senator Murkowski, because she sits on the Educational Committee for the Senate, to consider consolidating and eliminating some of the mandates for NCLB and kind of approaching the funding as a block grant to give the school district flexibility so that we can get more money into the classrooms. And I'll bring forth some language at the next meeting beforehand so you can see it in your packet, talk about it, think about it. But basically that's the purpose of what this resolution hopefully would accomplish, would send a message to our delegation saying we need the funding, but we don't need all the rules because all the rules are going to cost. And as I mentioned earlier, according to the federal government spokesperson that spoke with us last year, the opposite is actually happening. We're getting less money, and the mandates are staying. So we're basically going to ask for a rollback of mandates and keep the money. Maybe a futile attempt, but we'll take a look at it. Is there anything else for future items? Seeing none. This is our last persons to be heard. I'm going to once again ask that we stay within the 3 minutes where the board's indulging folks, but we seem to be going longer than 3 minutes, getting before five, somewhere six. So we're gonna beep you at three. So once again, the speaker states this is her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. Speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and clear the room or order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. This is our last 30-minute segment. So are there any members of the public that would like to speak on non-agenda items at this time? If so, please come forward and state your name for the record. Okay. Seeing none, do we have any committee reports? Member Welton.
I have been unsuccessful in setting up a meeting for the policy committee, so maybe we can calendar that. Are you prepared to be able to calendar that at this time?
I would ask that we calendar just as we're finishing up.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Are there any committee reports? No other committee reports? Okay. Any comments from the school board? Let's start with administration.
Mr. Stone?
None.
Mr. Forrest?
No, ma'am.
None for me either. Thank you.
Member Larson? Member Larson?
I'm pulling up my yellow sticky. Thank you. I want to congratulate the staff that we saw in the Board Connect on, I think it was Deed came in and did a audit, and they passed it with 100% staff. And that was, what staff was that? I know there was only two names mentioned, but I'm sure.
That one that was particularly reported, we received the final report, and that was Director Lucy Hope and her assistant, Dale Sweetser. Just on that note, soon you will receive probably an identical one for federal programs.
I just want to say congratulations on that. Job well done.
Thank you.
I'm reading, but thank you.
Member Posier.
I wanted to compliment the administration. I heard many positive comments about yesterday's budget presentation to the borough. It was very clear and concise. You anticipated all of their questions. I think it was very clear to them what our budgeting situation was. And I know you all have been spending extra time and extra hours to get that all together. So thank you for your hard work.
Member Welton.
Yes, I attended the Justice Coalition meeting this morning. There was 15 people there this morning talking about the issues for youth and just information that the community should be aware of is that there have been heroin deaths in our community and that it's becoming worse, that heroin and methadone are very toxic in our community, and we need to be more aware. And there's been some issues with the homeless group. There's now 400 homeless teens been noted in our school district, and the work that's being done to try to take care of our youth and keep people safe. We've learned a lot. There's some new programs for mental health for youth in our community, and so just be aware that there are people out there trying and working hard for our young people. I too want to thank everybody who's been involved in the budget process. I appreciate the numbers. I appreciate all the scenarios. I know that it's difficult to come up with every single scenario that could possibly be there. But it's really helpful because the what ifs keep coming around. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Gaddis.
Yes, for starters, I want to thank Stacy for making sure that I have all the stuff that you guys went through tonight. Thank you so much, Stacy, for real fair and timely. Secondly, I did want to thank your Superintendent Bramall. I got some great feedback on yesterday night's meeting with the Borough Assembly, and essentially what they said is the first time that they had seen clear numbers in layman's language. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Member Lacey.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to thank Ken Forrest for making the bell and system work over at Brussels High School.
That was the facility guy.
That was the facilities guy, but nonetheless, it was supposed to be taken care of, as I understand, from the borough, and we fixed it. Kudos for you for that. Your budget presentation was real good last night. That nice young lady from Colony High School that spoke reminded me when I was teaching that I spent a lot of time off the clock, and it's something that we as a board, I don't think, realize how much time is spent by teachers above and beyond the call of duty to ensure that our children have a good education. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Member Cordero.
I also do appreciate that comment. Married to a public school teacher, I barely ever see her during the school year because she's always working. I apologize for being late last night. I've been a little sick and dealing with some issues that are out of my control at this time. But the comment that I wanted to make earlier and I didn't make it was my only concern about the food option three on the food subsidy is that a lot of times kids or families that may be a little bit above what the poverty guideline might indicate, they may still not be able to afford certain things. And that's why I asked the question about what the percentage is. I mean, my day job is providing services for low-income Alaskans, and I know that a lot of times people that might not qualify, they still cannot afford basic services or basic needs. But I also know that we have a lot of nonprofits or community service options. But I just want you to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. And I also want to thank administration for the work they've done on the budget proposals, the budget work, the capital projects work. Our spring break was last week, and we're heading into the home stretch here. So I want to thank all the staff, teachers, aides, cooks, et cetera, for the hard work they've done. And just one last thing, I want to congratulate our teams that went to the States. Went down and watched a couple games, and the guys are tough, and the ladies are tough. So they did well. Anyway, thank you. And we are not having an executive session tonight. And so with that, is there a motion to adjourn, and then we'll do our calendar?
I would like to make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
A second.
Seeing no dissent, meeting is over. Thank you.